The Drive is live.
That's right. The Drive is live. And you hear and you see Mr. Clint Sterner is in the building.
Yeah, you
and
do. Come on.
Chris Santiago. Big D.
Hey, what's
Santiago,
up, guys?
Santiago, he's in the building. You normally hear him each and every night on Area 45. But
hey, Onyx, if you're hiring, you hear that voice?
You ain't lying.
Hey, them shake giants, out there, if you're hiring, like, hey, I don't know. I don't know if his girl's going to approve of him working in the shake, but he damn sure got the voice. He got the pipes, baby.
I'm alone. Chris, when he said Onyx, did you immediately think, like, oh, an announcer? Because I immediately, in my mind, I immediately thought, you trying to put him on the floor?
No, I did not, actually.
You think he looks more like a dancer? What the hell do you think I was reporting?
When I first heard Onyx, I thought, damn, he's trying to put him in the
dancer. No, I ain't got him dancing.
Then he said the voice. I said, oh, okay, I got you.
If you look at the visual, it's Klay Thompson. If you look at the visual, it's Klay Thompson. If you look at the voice, it's Shake Joint. That's what you got.
Right, huh?
The audio, man. That's it, baby.
Put him on the stage.
Real
at
smooth
Onyx,
with it.
But no, Tyler's in the Magic Kingdom, and he's hopefully enjoying himself. Probably getting slaughtered, I would imagine, in the Magic Kingdom. You know, he's going to do his thing. So
we did learn that you get a lot of folks go out there just to drink.
I tell you, I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Until we did our research for our Disney trip, yes, there are people that roll out there just to get themselves hammered. But it'll be a fun show today. Even though Tyler's gone, I am here to read his turds list. So we'll do Tyler's turds list coming up.
That'll be good.
In a bit. Yeah, it should be. So
the show version.
And I'm sure he probably did some things. It's probably things that I don't want to read if I know Tyler, but we'll see about that. That's all coming up down the line. But yeah, we appreciate you hanging out with us. You can hit us up and be a part of the show on the text line, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, as usual, what's good? You can get involved as well there. The first thing that I want to do, Chris, is I want to check on Clint. And I just want to make sure that you are preparing yourself.
What's that?
I just want to make sure you're preparing yourself. And you're not alone.
I stay prepared for adversity. I know you're not bringing me good news. I stay prepared for adversity. I pride myself in being ready for adversity. That's the advice I give everybody out there. Prepare your ass for adversity. It's coming.
And listen, I don't
especially
know
when
that,
you work with Ron.
I don't know. I don't know if this speaks to everybody, but I do think, judging by some of the messages we've seen on the text line on YouTube and Twitch, what I've seen on Twitter, that you all might need to start preparing yourself too. Clint, I'm just telling you right now, I think you should prepare yourself to be disappointed in the OC hire.
I'm just telling you
just in case you're going, and anybody else, because I've seen some people, Chip Kelly or we riot. I've seen that text. Well, don't riot, just prepare yourself. And hope for the best. I just want you to make sure you get yourself, because the day that it gets here, the day that they hire the new OC, I think it's likely to be somebody that you are not thrilled about. And I just want you to be prepared. Because I heard it in your voice. You have by Wednesday reached this is a joke territory. I just want you to prepare yourself right now.
I am very prepared for that, Ron.
You are? Okay,
yes,
so you've got
there's Nick Caserio. And a defensive-minded head coach. I am very, very prepared for this hire to be essentially another Bobby Slowick. I'm very, very, very prepared for that. Honestly, I've said this several times on these airwaves over the last 5 or 6 years. When there's certain ways that I feel, and a lot of the times I hope and pray that I'm dead-ass wrong. I hope and pray that I'm dead ass wrong of what I said when we hired a defensive minded head coach, is this is going to be a turnstile OC position. Good, for better or worse. Hopefully it was for the better and you were winning ball games and you move on because the guy went on and got a head coach gig. But worst case scenario, you just can't find the right guy. It's not the right fit. He doesn't jive with your quarterback. And you got to move on. And when you decide to move on, what I call lock, stock, and barrel, game-changing, tangible evidence having, pelts on the wall having OC is not available. Or you just don't hire the guy.
Yeah,
right?
You want to go in a different direction.
That is my worst fear for this football team. Is you've climbed a mountain, man. You have turned everybody in Houston on. I mean, everybody is chomping at the bit. And when it's all said and done, the huge advantage that you have for the next 2 to 3 years is dangling out there, and it's more likely to be placed in the hands. And I say wasted because I don't know how it's going to end up, but it's more than likely, that advantage is more than likely going to be placed in the hands of somebody that's never done it before.
Yeah, and I'm not saying whoever it is that's hired that the Texans and C.J. Stroud and this offense is doomed. I'm just simply saying I think when you think, all right, Texans' job is open for O.C., it's a situation where it's a defensive-minded coach, so you got a chance to shoot quick to be a head coach. Hell, Bobby Slowick in 1 year was one of the hottest names.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be your offense that you're running. You got C.J. Stroud. You're coming off a team that's won 10 games back-to-back years. You're in a division where you should clearly be the best team. C.J. Stroud, Pro Bowler, or alternate level player.
Sure.
Nico Collins, Pro Bowler, all pro level when he played last year type player. Joe Mixon, Pro Bowler, right? As you said, I don't know how great you feel about it, but you could kick yourself to saying Laremy Tunsil, Pro Bowl left tackle, right there, one of the important positions. But you get Tank Dell maybe comes back eventually, right? Still got some. You could look at that and you would say, we got C.J. Stroud. The O.C. jobs is opening. We should be able to get who we want, the pick of the litter.
Absolutely.
Now you're scratching your head saying, damn.
Should probably think about that before you fire your guy, but yeah, I agree with you.
Now you're scratching your head. Some of your fans are thinking, man, Clint Kubiak, that would make sense, but damn, he chose Geno Smith in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, all right. But you're in your mind, you're thinking, you can get the pick of the litter, or you can get somebody you really want because you're not sitting here like you're the Saints and trying to figure something out. And what I'm saying is, I don't think the person hired initially is going to match the thought of, man, what we have here should be something that is more enticing than any other team. But I think the name that will get hired won't match that. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to, like, it doesn't mean that if the Nixon guy or Kaylee or any of those guys are hired, Gerard Johnson, doesn't mean that they're doomed, they're going to suck. I'm just saying that hire may not fit the element of we got C.J. Stroud that's his third year. We got Nico Collins in his fourth year and has maybe one of the best contracts in the league. Yes, I was dead wrong on that contract. I'm going to make sure I get that out the way before that one guy whose number ends in 2-0 comes in here and says it. But I just prepare yourself for, oh, I hope it works. Instead of the confidence of, bam. Like, I just say this right now. Guys, you can close the door on the Chip Kelly thing. I think that's done. Chip Kelly would have been in the house by now.
Sure, we sure enough would make sense by now, wouldn't it?
And I've thought a little deeper in this, Clint and Chris and the people. I don't know that. I don't know if you really think about it that Chip Kelly maybe fits maybe the two most important people in the organization.
I know where you're going, and I know people get tired of me agreeing with you.
Let me see. You go. I'm gonna see if we're on the same page. Because I think D'Amico and CJ are the two most important guys in the franchise. And Chip Kelly's personality and what Chip brings to the table, I don't see those meshing.
Correct.
Is that where? Because D'Amico, I think, is somebody I think wants more control now. And probably want somebody that has his similar vibe. Let's just put it out there. D'Amico's a player's coach. Now sometimes some coaches like to have, hey, a hard ass on the staff with them. And some coaches like, hey, I kind of want the flow. I think D'Amico wants like-minded people. So I don't know that Chip Kelly's a fit there. And then just kind of judging by C.J. Stroud's demeanor, how he goes about business, I don't know if he is at his best or you get the best out of him with the personality of somebody that is, and this is the way we're doing it, or hey, this is that's a little firmer, that's the word I want to use, that's a little firmer for CJ. And that, as I've dug in a little deeper, I'm thinking, I don't know if Chip Kelly fits that. I don't know if that fits with the vibe and what they want on this team.
Well, look, they're at a fork in the road here. D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are at a fork in the road. And to your point, they can hire a Chip Kelly like individual and turn the reins of the offense in every sense of the phrase, turn the reins over to a guy like Chip Kelly, a personality like Chip Kelly, and say, I ain't got nothing to do with it. You got the offense, I got the team meetings, I got the defense. Period. Doors closed. We're not going to go into Chip Kelly's office and ask him about his pass-to-run ratio. We're not going to go into Chip Kelly's office and ask him why he was on Laramie Tunsil's ass about being in training camp before it's mandatory.
I don't think D'Amico wants that.
That's what I'm going with it, right? So you got a fork in the road. It's one of two ways you can go. You can bring that guy in here. You can turn the reins over to him, and you can put your hands up and go do defense and do the top level team stuff as a head coach. Or you can hire someone that's never called plays before, that comes from the same system that Bobby Slowick came from, that's got the same terminology that CJ and Nico and Laramie and Mixon and all these guys already know. And there's an open door policy, and Nick Caserio can have input. D'Amico Ryans can have input. The entire staff, the Bill Lasers of the world, right? These consultants or whatever they call them, assistants. Those guys can walk in, and it can be this collaborative group effort. And we can once again talk about, oh, I don't know what the identity is. We'll find out by week 8 or 9, right? And to me, I am uncomfortable as hell with that. When you ask me, how many Bobby Slowicks are we going to hire before you realize that's a shot in the dark? And I know there's a lot of people there, what about this guy? What about that guy? What about this guy? Okay, that's fine. Yes, there's head coaches out there that at some point in time, they were a little bit of a risk of a hire. You are correct. And they and whoever hired him hit a grand slam with them as an offensive play caller, a defensive play caller, whatever, right? That's fine. There's a lot of those guys that are hired and fired within a year or two, like Bobby Slowick, right? And I just, to me, man, I am a huge fan of, if you're going to be a defensive-minded head coach, bring in somebody, turn the reins over, get the hell out of the way.
You would think after the first experience, maybe that's what he would go for. I don't think after the Bobby Slowick experience, I don't think D'Amico wants to give up more power in this. I think he wants to be more involved. To me, and hell, I can understand, because maybe D'Amico is thinking to himself, "Hey, this thing's got to get right. It's got to get right." And so that's the, like, if you think about it, Clint, Chip Kelly is a lot closer to a guy that I think they would never even look at in Eric Bieniemy. He is very demanding. There have been a good amount of former players that he didn't rub right. There have been former players in San Francisco and Philly that don't have great things to say about Chip Kelly. And so I don't know if that's what they want to bring in. And like you said, I don't know if D'Amico is comfortable with the OC coming in and just telling Laramie Tunsil, no, you're practicing. I don't know if he's comfortable with
it. I don't know D'Amico well enough to know like the power, because it seems like kind of the way you're couching it is more of a control or a power, like
maybe control, more involved. I don't think the firing and moving on from Bobby Slowick is going to cause him to be less involved.
Yeah,
I think involved he wants to be more involved in this situation. Yeah. Health, we're looking at it. He's interviewing people.
Yeah, that is. I agree. I don't know the power trip, D'Amico. I don't know one way or the other on that. But the being involved. Like, I'll be honest with you. I don't know at this point. The way that he's handled C.J. Stroud and anointed C.J. Stroud, I don't know that he can pull back. You know what I mean? Like that. Like there is. Like if C.J. Stroud is going to stand next to the head coach every time he speaks, and he's going to feel the need to speak right along with the head coach, I don't know how you pull back and go, hey man, I'm not the guy. Hey CJ, I'm not the guy to come to. Like you can't come to me and complain to me about the OC
because they've been in such lockstep.
Yes,
you know, yeah, they've been in such lockstep that you could see that CJ and him have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Well, you create the,
and again, I don't know how true it is, but the reports that at Ohio State, he didn't speak to the offensive coordinator. He went straight to the head coach. Like a lot of people go, okay, yeah, no big deal. No, it is a big deal.
Yeah, I don't care if he was the tight ends coach or what. I don't care.
Yeah, it don't matter. Like it doesn't matter. Like you're OC.
And again, I've never seen anything that would seem to show that CJ would be that disrespectful, especially at that age.
But think about how dysfunctional that is, Ron. Even if the OC doesn't care. And even if you go wing, how dysfunctional is it that your quarterback, the most powerful player in your organization, really the most powerful being in your organization other than the head coach, has a direct line to the head coach and has cut off the offensive coordinator? Like how dysfunctional is that in the big scheme of things? Like how is that offensive coordinator, how is he going to discipline anybody? How is he going to make the necessary changes? How is he going to communicate just on a daily basis what he needs to communicate? Again, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just a firm believer in if you're a quarterback, like stories like that don't just get completely fabricated. Like there was clearly something there that brought that story to life to some degree. And to any degree, it's a certain level of dysfunction. So I am very, very fascinated maybe with the D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud, like literal side by side lockstep approach here and how it works in relation to hiring and respecting an offensive coordinator.
And look, D'Amico, this is his team.
He can do whatever
he do whatever the hell he wants to do. And I don't know. I just get the sense that this is not a, hey, bro, you got full autonomy, baby. You go and do your thing, man. I don't think this is a situation because, like, I think Andy Reid does that with Steve Spagnuolo. Hey, it's all yours, Jack. I think Sean McVay did that with Wade Phillips.
All yours.
Yeah. It's all yours. Now, it's a little different with the offense and defense, right? It's all yours. I don't know that D'Amico is a, let's bring somebody in that just has full autonomy.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be, he wants to be involved in that thing. All right, coming up, one of the great athletes, one of the great players in this great city got an honor. And it makes me wonder what this will mean for the upcoming season for this said player. We'll discuss that coming up.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line and YouTube and Twitch, you can get involved in this show. I do want to get to Yordan Alvarez in just a second. My man said on YouTube and Twitch, said, man, I really hope show is wrong on this one, that we may be disappointed by the hire. You may not be. If you are good with some of the names that you've heard, and if you're, I think there, I've seen some people really excited about Nick Caley. I've seen some people who have.
I have too.
Yeah, like, oh, bring on today. I saw somebody said today's a great day to hire Nick Caley. I've seen some people, but I also understand, like you and many others, that you know a guy who's never called plays or never been an OC, that their highest rank is passing game coordinator with the Rams and. Because I've seen the other side and was beat out by Patricia and Joe Judge, I like to call him.
That's right. When he came out, was his tight end coach at New England. He could have been hired as an offensive coordinator there. Instead, they went the defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know if that's Nick or Bill. I don't know what
sure.
I was doing.
Yeah, no.
I bet there are some people who are really excited. If you're excited about some of these names, or Jeff Nixon or – Gerard Johnson, I know there's some people who are excited about Gerard Johnson and would like it to be Gerard Johnson, then you won't be disappointed. If you are, and I think I just think obviously when you have a fan base, there are multiple thoughts. And I think there are a lot of people in the thought of Clint of like, you know, when I think about firing Bobby Slowick after what actually he did while he was here in 2 years and who they have here, like, there is a bigger thought.
Yeah, and look, here's the thing. I'm not going to be disappointed. I mean, I guess I could be. But, I don't foresee this being a disappointment as much of I would go one direction. It doesn't appear like this group is going to even attempt to go that direction. That don't mean a damn thing. I'm just passionate about talking about it. I'm not going to be disappointed. Like, I like Gerard Johnson. I'd love for Gerard Johnson to be that dude and get the chance right here in his hometown and go blow it up and just kill it and be a head coach in 2 years. I would absolutely love that. I'm not gonna go dance in the streets if he's the offensive coordinator that's named here until I see a product, until I see what's going to be different from Bobby Slowick, whether it's Gerard Johnson or Bill Lazor. Like, it's either a hell yeah, I'm stoked about this guy because we know what he brings to the table, or
we'll see.
Hey man, we're gonna have to wait and see what happens here.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm not upset, I'm passionate about the conversation we're having, but I'm not concerned or upset about who the hell they hire. But look, sit around and talk about, like, how in the world is anybody excited about Nick Haley? Is that his name?
Yeah,
Nick.
Being under Sean McVay and stuff that
you can say about 42 people.
Tell me what people are excited about. Like, what have you heard, Chris? What have you heard?
I'm just curious, what is the reasoning? What's the thought behind it?
Being in multiple systems.
Basically, just being McVay type of guy, you know, coming from the McVay tree.
Under Josh McDaniels in New England and multiple systems, that multiple quarterbacks that's worked. That's what the excitement
is. Gotcha.
Maybe the next, thinking like the next Kevin O'Connell. I've heard that he could be the next Kevin O'Connell who came under him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like the next McVay. I'd like the next Shanahan. I would like the next Kevin O'Connell.
But just like that, there's also the next Bobby.
There's 10 extra, 10 next Bobbies.
Yeah, there's more. I feel like there's more Bobbies than
absolutely.
The other LaFleur.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
I guess old Nathaniel comes out of that tree too, doesn't he?
Nathaniel
Hackett.
There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them that come out of that tree. And cool, I get it. That rightfully, I love the thought of bringing somebody in that doesn't change terminology. I like the thought of, and I can get down with the thought of keeping somebody, Gerard Johnson, that's in-house, that keeps the terminology along with the understanding of the chemistry in the building. I can get down with all that. I'm not going to get excited about it until I see what kind of changes, how they approach the game, how they approach the players, what kind of changes are going to be made. I just am not of the belief at this point in time, Ron, in any way, shape, or form, that this is an offense where remove Bobby Slowick and run it back. Like, that just is never, it's never struck me as that kind of situation.
I guess he was just icing everybody out, I guess. I just didn't think he had that.
I mean,
kind
was
of power.
He keep was he keeping the assistant coaches from coaching the right mechanics and techniques? Was he keeping assistant coaches from making sure that their players know the right routes to run, the right depths to run in the routes, and where to line up? Was he responsible for the tight ends coach and the physicality that was never there? Was he responsible for those things? Those are all the things that need to change. There's a lot that needs to change, and I'm in wait and see mode for somebody that gets hired inside the building.
We'll get to Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, we'll get to Yordan.
Listen, this is the one that gets me. As I said it earlier, like you start thinking about the teams that needed OCs. With what the Texans have, I just don't know how. Like, it would have been at the top of the list, you would think. Clint didn't even wait to even get in, to even be
oh,
offered.
Kubiak, you talking
yeah,
about?
He
oh, did, yeah.
He didn't even wait. He said, Gino.
Yeah.
Aging DK. He's been here. He's daddy coach here.
In a division with some monsters.
Yes. Like, that one threw me off. Because that was the one early that made a lot of sense of like, hey, he's got ties here. Mm-hmm. His dad is the most revered coach here. even include, like right now, even including DeMeco, did what he did. I'm sure he's lived here. He didn't even, I mean, Seattle scooped him up like they had CJ. Now, again, maybe DeMeco was like, has his mind and his eyes somewhere else. That would seem like a fit. That would seem like a fit that I think would have made the fan base excited. Would have been something. All right, this guy's called plays. We know where he comes from. As you know, my wife's grandmother said, "Comes from good stock." That's what she said about me. She said, "That boy, young man, comes from good stock." That one. I just said, "Damn, Seattle! The hell they got up there? They got an offensive line that's kind of in and out. They got Geno Smith, but hell yeah, that's where I want to go." All right, coming up. Some news that we want to pass along about a future Hall of Famer in the NFL. And who's next? Who's next in 2025? Come on back. We'll let you know what we mean by that. That's next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Clint's in the building. Chris Santiago is in the next couple days as Tyler is out at the Magic Kingdom. You feel like Tyler is the guy that just about to ride a bunch of roller coasters?
Yes.
I would if I was there.
I got a date to Disney soon. I have not been on a roller coaster in quite some time. Now, I used to be a roller coaster rider.
Well, I mean, what else would you do?
Watch the kids.
Watch the kids.
Hold crap on the kids.
Drink.
Well, I mean, I forgot. Y'all, I think y'all have kids. I don't.
I think. There's other stuff out there besides roller coasters. I mean,
I'd probably get on one a time or two.
Get on some of those.
I think Tyler's, he's lathered up. He's worked up a lather. It's just full sweat by the time he's getting there. He's got to put on body spray when he walks up.
He's got it mapped up. I bet you. Mapped out. He's got his Old Spice with him.
He's definitely got some strong Old Spice, by the way. I appreciate it. It smells great.
That I'm not going to lie. That is one of the biggest caught me off guards about any of us. Learning that Tyler keeps Old Spice, a bottle of Old Spice spray on hand.
In his bag.
Like, not just it's the spray, but Old Spice. Like, I cannot pinpoint another person that I know that has Old Spice, that I know that uses Old Spice. I appreciate that he is doing that and not Axe, because some of that can get a bit strong. But I don't know. Do you know anybody that uses Old Spice?
Mm-mm.
He's the only one.
At least like deodorant wise.
Not even
deodorant.
Like, I have Tyler Milner in the last, I'd say 10 years is the only time I've seen an Old Spice bottle.
Yeah, no, or smelt it because it is strong. Now that's the other thing is like, there must be some serious body odor going on without it. Because, I mean, he puts it on in that student at prep studio over there, and it'll blow you at the door.
It's strong. Distinct. You know exactly what it is.
I know where it came from.
That and Irish Spring. Those two have very distinct. Like, you know when somebody didn't walk past you that's used Irish Spring. Hell, I can even tell if it's the bar and not just the.
Yeah, that bar, you could definitely tell.
The bar even has a stronger taste. Than it is.
It strikes me as probably a real Aggie thing.
Is that it?
I think a lot of the Aggies I know that are men, I could see them wearing out some Old Spice. And I'm not even being disrespectful. I like most of them.
I did. I looked at that bottle. I said, damn, somebody's still using Old Spice, huh? Go ahead. Do you think?
713-572-4610. All my Aggies out there. Is Old Spice gone rampant in College Station on Northgate?
You don't think he picked that up at Baytown? You think it's when he got up there to.
Well, it's either something from his dad. It's something he picked up from his dad way back in the day and just had never been able to shake, or he got up there in College Station and that was a thing now.
Yeah. Someone text in, only old men wear Old Spice.
Uh-huh. Tyler's mid-30s. And he, boy, does he ever wear it.
Yeah. Tyler will try to continue to tell you he's in his early 30s, but it's mid. All right, this news here, we'll see what happens. It's just kind of being reported. But Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by 6 massage therapists. This according to the Baltimore Banner. And then this reported from Adam Schefter said Ravens kicker Justin Tucker called allegations against him unequivocally false. He had a full prepared statement for it, and that was the big piece of it. He completely denies it, as you hear there. And this will be, you know, I don't know if this is going to be like the situation we were in and out of for over a year here in Houston with the Deshaun Watson thing. I don't know where that'll go, but this is clearly not a good look, and is going to be something here. This is something I'm sure the league is looking at. And as I said earlier, somebody's life is being ruined. Either women that have been inappropriate behavior shown towards them, or Justin Tucker, who right now, this is probably, no matter if he did it or not, going to be attached to him.
Yeah, this is one for me, man, that's tough. Because, I mean, like, Tucker, I mean, either way it goes, I mean, his life has changed forever.
Yep, right now.
You know, whether it is unequivocally false or not, I mean, there's some details that are going to come out of obviously some kind of incriminating evidence that something more than showing. Like, I just don't know what, like, the hard part for me is I can see guys using a lot of different massage therapist. I can see where guys would maybe even at a time or two come on to someone that they think is attractive, whether it's a massage therapist or somebody else. I can't for, I feel like I'm pretty loose with it in a sense of kind of understanding and accepting some things and kind of knowing the real world, especially of athletes.
You've been in the massage situation.
I've been in several of those situations. I can't for the life of me, especially if you're one of these guys that have a name like Deshaun Watson or Justin Tucker. Like, I can't for the life of me, even little old me, imagine what you have to do to multiple women in multiple different places of business to get banned from a couple of them. Much less be accused of inappropriate. Like, I just don't. It's just wild, man. It's wild to think that if it's true that these guys go about it this way and just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and thinking they're never going to get caught.
And you would imagine.
And if it's not true, it's hard to imagine that nothing is true. I heard Lopez talking about earlier, like some of the reports are he was banned from a couple of different establishments. Like, how are you a pro athlete that all of the NFL community knows and knows well and admires?
Not just that, but coming off of the Deshaun Watson situation, like you would think guys would be on their P's and Q's, that you wouldn't even have any confusion of it. Again, this is he is unequivocally calling these claims false. Again, that is what Justin Tucker is saying. They are still alleged. But boy, coming off the Deshaun Watson stuff, And seeing how that has taken his life. Mm-hmm. Now, I know he got paid, but how it's taken his life and how his name is it'll never be the same. Looked at the same. I would imagine at that point, a lot of guys around the league tightened up. A lot of guys, if they were loose, I would imagine a lot of people tightened up and didn't leave any confusion. So this is surprising, especially after the years and what happened with Deshaun Watson, that you would hear this. And as you said, from alleged multiple people.
Yeah, like the sheer number blows my mind. Like, I mean, like some of the guys that I played with back in Dallas, like, I mean, they were very, very particular about who they let work on them. And I always thought, hey, man, these are elite athletes, man. These dudes are getting paid millions of dollars to do what they do. They can't have just any old Joe Blow or Jane Blow in there. Just that's a poor choice of words, obviously. But, you know, they can't just let anybody work on them. I mean, these cats are running around and obviously just letting anybody work on them. Yep. So you got the whole thing is just wild to think that these I mean, Tucker's arguably the most well-known kicker maybe ever. Like, if you talk about the level of success, and I could be walking down the street in Houston and come across, and I'd know exactly who that was. There's not another kicker in the league right now. I don't know that if I walked up on Kyemi Fairbairn, that I would recognize, I would, obviously, but I don't know that I would recognize him before Justin Tucker. Is it Tucker?
It's Tucker.
I don't know. I don't know that I would.
You're really making me think with this now. First off, two of them. Is Justin Tucker the most famous kicker ever? He very well might take it up a notch here. But before today, was he the most famous kicker ever? Or was it Sebastian Janikowski? Was he the...
Janikowski's probably a more, I would say probably that name is probably more well-known across more generations. But I ain't got Janikowski if he walks in the building right now. If Janikowski walked in the building... Hey, Chris, if Janikowski walked in that door right there in your studio, would you know who it is?
I mean, I know what he looks like, but probably not. I mean, just casually, if I just look...
I ain't got him. I think he's ball-headed, right?
Yeah, I think that's about all I got.
How many kickers do you have? I think I got Harrison Butker.
Well, yeah, you should have him. Hell, that's
But he's kind of been in it a little bit. You see, like he's kind of been in the news a bit. I think I got him.
I mean, you got to go back to the guys like Vinatieri and those guys, yeah. and I ain't got them either.
I don't have Adam Vinatieri. I don't think if Adam Vinatieri walked in, I don't think I have Adam Vinatieri. Yeah, that's. I think you might be right on Justin Tucker.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I don't think I have another kicker to pull. I don't think I do. No.
We just got a text from Pendergast, which just makes me feel better. By the way,
what'd he say?
Well, I don't know. I don't know when he got married. The allegations are from 2012 to 2016.
Well, okay, that's
so we're talking nine to 12 years ago.
Well, at least that cleans up the after. After Deshaun Watson. So it happened before that.
It happened before Deshaun, and hopefully for his family's sake, happened before he got married and started having kids.
Well, hopefully it just didn't happen. All parties. Hopefully it didn't happen. But this is a hell of a situation. They're going to have to deal with someone texting Ray Finkel. Yes, Ace Ventura Pet Detective. Yes. They made Al Del Greco. You don't have Al Del Greco. You don't know what Al Del Greco looks like, and you know it. All right. 2025, who's next? Clint, Chris, people. In 2024, it was Josh Allen. He was the rival to Patrick Mahomes. It was Josh Allen. 2023, it was Lamar. Lamar Jackson won the MVP. He was the rival. He was the one you wanted to see. Previous 2 years before that, it was Joe Burrow. It was Burrow versus Mahomes. Burrow had beat him in 21. They played again. It was Burrow. Before that, it was Josh Allen. They've been kind of flipping the baton back and forth between the three of them of who is going to be this year's rival. Who is it going to be next year? Who's going to be the quarterback? Who is going to take it in 2025? As I said, they flipped around. Is it going to be one of those three? Is it going to be somebody that's outside of those three? Who is it? Who is it going to be next year?
I mean, one of those.
You think it's going to be one? You don't think it's somebody from the outside of those three?
No. I mean, I think you got the best quarterbacks in the league, and I don't think that's going to change. Like, I don't think Caleb Williams all of a sudden jumps on the scene and he's the next guy. I mean, I guess you can look at Jaden Daniels and say if he has a follow-up season, he's the next guy to be in line with, hey, when the Commanders play the Chiefs, and the Commanders play the Ravens, when the Commanders play Buffalo, when the Commanders play the best quarterbacks in the league, Jaden Daniels is the one. That's the primetime matchup. So, I mean, if you had to pick a name, I'd say Jaden Daniels.
Because every year we get the, all right, you'll get right towards the middle of the year. Okay, this is gonna be the guy. This is the guy who's gonna go and take down. This year kind of felt like it was Allen. It was I'll say if they get the T. Higgins thing together and Chase thing together, I think it's Burrow. I think Burrow comes back.
That's kind of who I was
to me.
That's kind of who I was thinking, but to me it's more about, can they fix their defense?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they got to fix their defense.
That's really what matters with
them. They also got to maintain it. Like, to me, I think T. Higgins is probably really important to their offense, and they fired their coach and they're going a different direction. But he was rolling. He had his best year of his career last year and was rolling. And I feel like by the middle of the year, that will be the next one. Somebody said, I come to everybody talking about CJ. No.
Yeah, that ship has sailed for me.
He would have been in the. He was probably would have been somebody we would have thought would have been in the conversation right now.
Sure.
Going into year three after the first year.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I thought. Yeah.
You can.
I'm just not. I'm not there right now.
Yeah, Black Greg, you can shut down the Bo Nix one too. I don't.
Well, I don't think Bo Nix is there either.
I'm not going to read this other one.
Who you at? Come on, man. Who you at?
I don't know because it's going to set you off.
Let me hear.
I'm going to guess Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what Howie Long said. Justin Herbert.
Yeah, man. Hey, let's get in a shootout.
They'll play each other twice.
I'd love to see Justin Herbert and the old Josh Allen, which he's very likely to go back to the old Josh Allen, by the way. It's because he didn't win this way. He might go back to the other one and just say, hell with it. Guns a-blazing. Get Josh Allen a couple of weapons. Let him and Herbert go have a little shootout.
Let's go have a shootout. Let's
have a shootout, baby.
Someone said it'll be Josh again. We'll see. I mean, Josh, obviously, I don't think he's going anywhere, but it is just weird. It just seems to, every year.
Just rotate
between the guys. Maybe Josh is like, nah, damn it, this is mine. And I'm sure they'll add to that team moving forward. All right, coming up as we continue right here live on The Drive. Keep rolling with this big 3 o'clock hour, so stay tuned with this turds of the week. And apparently I'm going to have to read whatever Tyler feels of the turds of the week, and so that should be entertaining, I'm sure. But I want to get into this coming up. If the Texans are going to make strides and take the next step, then they're not only going to have a great offseason, but they're going to need to have some guys take more steps, take leaps, some guys to take their game up to the next level. Who are those guys that you think on this team have another step to take, and who are the ones you think are just maxed out? That's coming up next.